Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Amen. Quite the letter we heard this morning from the Apostle St. Paul, this letter that he writes to the church in Philippi. And as I said to the kids, that's considered modern-day Greece, and it was also considered the first church in Europe. And when Paul first went, he was the missionary who went. He went, his visit was probably about 50, current era. And this letter was probably written like mid to late 50s. Let's set the stage for what it was like back then. About a century earlier than that, the Roman soldiers came into this area in Macedonia, in Philippi, and by the way, it was a wonderful place to be. For those who are studying the book of Acts, George has given us lots of information about Philippi, and it was the place to travel from Italy on over to Turkey, and you would pass in through that area. And so the Roman soldiers came, and they just took the land from the people and pushed the people out. And it became a Roman colony. We know about colonization in the early, you know, late 1800s and early 1900s. But back then, I mean, this is an example of colonization, where it became a Roman colony. And so it was all about Roman propaganda, how Rome was wonderful. You bow to the emperor, that is your god. And you are expected to be very pro-Roman in your behavior. Now, Paul writes this letter from a jail. He's incarcerated, or we're not exactly sure where he is, but we do know that he is being held by the Romans, and the possibility of death lingers over his head. Philippians, the people in Philippi, and Paul at that time, they were surrounded by the unknown. They were very suspicious of each other. They surrounded by fear, and they were engulfed in death all around them, including the possibility of their own death. So every day on their minds was suspicion, fear, and death, the worries of their day. Dare I say it's the worries of our day today? I mean, we have these mass shootings. The children have left the room, the little ones. We have these mass shootings, Columbine, Sandy Hook Elementary, Virginia Tech, the Pulse Nightclub, Charleston, South Carolina, Las Vegas. I mean, it's in our work, it's in our schools, it's in the places where we want to relax, it's in our worship, indoor and outdoor. Fear. Suspicion will look at everyone very suspiciously if they don't look like us, or they don't walk like us, or they're saying something odd. What's the latest thing that we hear? If you see something, say something. Which is not a bad thing, by the way, but it might be a bad thing when all of a sudden we're suspicious of everything around us. I say when you see someone being wrongly treated, say something. We live in a world where leaders instill fear, and we know that because that is the way, it's a powerful tool to cause everyone to turn inward and to focus on the self. Leaders do it, including leaders in the United States. It is something that is done, and again, it's a powerful tool when we blame and we fear others who don't look like us. Fear does cause us to turn inward. It causes us to be our own gods. It causes us to rely on ourselves. You've heard this before. It's every man, woman, and child for himself or for herself. Fear is going to cause us to act in ways that we couldn't even imagine. Have you just snapped at somebody for no reason? Especially lately, we just seem to be so divisive that we're not even listening anymore. Our focus is just to get our own point across and not listen for what the other wants to say. We tend to be angry at other people for no reason other than fear. We tend to see things in terms of black and white, and we're not willing to go into that gray area. You see, fear wants us, and it causes us to see God. What do you see?
Nowhere.
Ah, don't jump. Oh, you saw it. It causes us to see God nowhere. And so we become our own savior. We're going to save ourselves. We're going to save everyone else. But you know something? Paul, when he sees this word, he doesn't see nowhere. What does he see? God now here. Yes. Not nowhere, but now here. It's the very place where God is present, without a doubt, in our times of trial, in our times of crisis, in our times of fear, in our times of suspicion, in the times of the unknown. It's from prison. Think about that. Really think about what prison was like back then. Dark and dank, and actually in some cases they had him shackled where he couldn't even move, he couldn't stand, he couldn't sit. They'd bring him food, he couldn't eat because of the way he was shackled. And yet what is the words that he writes in this letter to the people in Philippi? He says, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. I tell you again, rejoice. He speaks of joy, not happiness. Are you happy? Are you happy today? No, he speaks of joy, the type of joy that comes and stays with us even in the time of crisis, even in the time when we are in grief. That's the kind of joy that comes from God in Christ. The Savior, our Savior. The God who is for us. You know, at our Synod Assembly, and I don't normally do this, but a lot of the preachers and our two preachers that had preached this weekend, one was our interim bishop, Marcus Lorman, and the other was the secretary of the ELCA, and he is a reverend, and it was Chris Borger. And both of them ended with this: the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That's not with the Sunday school, by the way. As you say, they're really loud out there. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That is a prayer that is said for us. But from today's scripture, we can understand where that comes from and what it's grounded in. We hear, rejoice, the Lord is here. The Lord is near. The Lord is now here. Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer, let your requests be made known to God. God wants us to worship him. Not because he needs it or she needs it. She tells us to worship her precisely because we're going to worship something. And that's why God wants us to worship her. Our focus is going to be somewhere. Let it be on God, the Creator. It's a two-way conversation. Just saying. It's a two-way conversation. And when we have that conversation where we are speaking and God speaks back to us, then the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That's what that's being said here. It's where do we find our grounding? Where do we find our footing? And we say it is in Christ and Christ alone. You know, we have a God that became incarnate, and we talk about this every Christmas. But I'm going to talk about it today. What God leaves the throne, taking off all the robes, and comes down in the form of a human being as a baby to be cared by us? What God does that? Only one God, the God, comes, grows, walks with us, to be with us, to teach us, to heal us, to freely forgive us, to suffer for us, and today to suffer with us. We are grounded in the suffering God who knows us deeply and knows our groans and our pains, and who calls us to walk, to talk, and to be connected so that we turn outward and not inward. One of the things that I was teaching the confirmation students last week was about making the sign of the cross. We may tend to say that's such a Roman Catholic thing. It is the most cathartic thing we can do when we think of, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, amen, we pray or we say something. But then I also taught them, remember, it is God who comes down to us to free us, to give us forgiveness of sins, something we don't need to earn, work for, but to give it freely so we don't have to focus on that anymore, but so that we can focus on going outward to our left and to our right, to our neighbors. So I say, when you make the sign of the cross, remember that it is a God who comes down to us. God, you know, God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit is the one who takes us out and helps us to understand all of this. When we do this, when we go outward, that is where we know joy and peace. It comes to us in the God who walks with us. It is the same God, Jesus Christ, that Paul speaks about and that is present with us in the gift of the Holy Spirit, the God now here. No one stay connected intentionally to God in Christ through the Holy Spirit. This is a spiritual discipline. It's what disciples do. We pray. It's not something that you just do when you need something. It's not something when you're down on your knees in crisis. And by the way, absolutely, how many times can we not say the prayer where we're in deep crisis? The Holy Spirit intercedes and lifts those prayers up for us. But it's something you do every day. You might think I'm crazy, but I have a conversation with God all the time. All the time. I could be standing online at Publix. I could be waiting. You know, I'm in the car waiting at the stoplight. And sometimes the conversation is, do you believe this? But other times, it's more like, oh, yeah, thank you. Thank you that I remember that you're here and all that you do. I am constantly talking. God, how do I deal with this? I'm not doing a good job right now. God, help me. What is it that I do? And I wait and I listen. And sometimes I do say, really, when are you going to deliver us? And I hear this answered, you are delivered, you nut. You are delivered. You are now called to go out, because wherever two or three are gathered, that's where I am. And I need to hear that over and over and over. And I need to be reminded that I am forgiven over and over and over, because I mess up every day. And every night I go to sleep. And when I wake up, I know that I am made new in Christ. That's sanctification. That's being made holy each and every single day. Not because of anything that I have done, but all because of what Christ has done. We know, and we have to stay connected to the God who is now here. You are going to hear people say and act, where is God? And some people are going to say nowhere. No, we need to step in and we need to say now, here, present in us, present with you, for you, hurting right along with you, knowing what that feels like, a God who suffers with us. And then a God who takes our sins to the grave, all of us. A God who does not stay dead, but a God that raises up to new life. And that new life that is given to us on this very day and every day, because eternity starts today, not when you no longer walk the face of the earth, but on this day and continues forever and ever. And when you stay connected to that God now here, then the peace which surpasses all understanding will indeed guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ. Amen.